of the meeting. Colleagues, what brings us to this particular meeting is the fact that when we received a briefing from the CGE on the work that they did in the TVET program, we identified we resolved as a committee that some of the colleges that would have been, where work would have been done by the CGE, we would want to, at a later stage, call to the committee, to appear before the committee, for us to firstly gain an understanding of the college around governance matters, management matters, teaching and learning, but then also, of course, to gain an understanding on how they've been able to implement the recommendations by the CGE. So that is what brings us to this moment. We took two of the colleges that the CGE interacted with, and that was Southwest Gauteng TVET College, as well as the Northern Cape Urban TVET College. So members would recall that we have interacted with the Northern Cape Rural TVET College. Now we will be interacting with the Northern Cape Urban TVET College. So that is then just perhaps what I would have liked to say before we start our meeting. And really hope that we will all work together to ensure that the meeting is productive. I'd like to then at this point hand over to DDG Zungu for any opening remarks from the department.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Let me start by extending an apology on behalf of the Minister and the Deputy Minister, but also our DG, who is also accompanying the Minister on an international mission. But we are here, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, with the two colleges, which is the Southwest Gauteng College, as well as the Northern Cape Urban College, who are represented by both their governance structures, the councils, as well as their management. But we also have union representatives that are also part of the engagements. Honorable Chair, there's not much in terms of the opening remarks. It's just to appreciate the opportunity to appear before you, and also appreciate the input and the guidance that we always receive from the Portfolio Committee. I think in the areas where the committee has been able to visit, we have seen some improvement, not just within the department, but also in the institutions where the Portfolio Committee has been able to play oversight. We appreciate all the inputs that we receive from yourselves, and we are always working towards improving the situation, including the very matters that you have raised in your opening remarks around the issues of gender-based violence. We've been working very closely with the higher health in all our institutions, but in the main, the work has been in relation to issues of advocacy and information sharing to make sure that people are capacitated, both staff members as well as students, in relation to the issues around gender-based violence. Of course, these issues sometimes will require certain resources, not just financial, but also personnel, to make sure that the policies that we've put together as a department, they are indeed implemented across the sector. Also on the issues around disability, addressing the issues of the infrastructure as well as the equipment that is required to accommodate an inclusive TVET sector, and make sure that those students that have issues of disability are also accommodated as a department through our SEACH or the Infrastructure Efficiency Grant. We've been able to ensure that each college, through its allocation, around 10% of their total allocation must be dedicated towards addressing issues of infrastructure. And we are closely monitoring colleges in ensuring that indeed this is implemented. It's an ongoing process, but I think we are making progress in that regard. We might not have the adequate resources to cover all, but at least there are institutions where we have ensured that this indeed happened. In our strategy in ATP, we have a target to establish disability units in each and every TVET campus, and I think that is an ongoing process. A number of colleges have been visited to do the due diligence to assess the state of readiness of each one of the TVET colleges and making sure that indeed we are in the process of implementing the issues around addressing infrastructure deficiencies and creating a conducive environment for students with disabilities. So there are initiatives where we have already started. We might not be moving at the pace that one would want, but we are slowly getting there. So Chair and Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I think on our side, we are accompanied from the department, some of our officials who might also assist in relation to some of the questions that might be raised by the portfolio committee. But we will also commit to provide a comprehensive report that we have worked with the higher health in relation to issues of gender-based violence so that it can be shared with the members of the portfolio committee maybe soon after this session. On that note, Chairperson, thank you very much. I will hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Didi Chizumu, for those remarks. I will immediately hand over to colleagues from the Southwest Gauteng TVET College. I believe they are led by their chair of council, who is Mr. Zed Dlamini, as well as the acting principal, Mr. MJ Munyamane. And then we will then hand over to the SRC as well as the workers. So at this point, I hand over to management and council, but also to indicate to them that you have 35 minutes to present. So it's now 9:13. So at around 9:50, would require that you begin to wrap up. Over to you, colleagues.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the House. Munyaman is speaking. I'm the acting principal of the college. And with me, I've got my colleagues in management, Mr. Schlema, who is the deputy principal corporate, Mr. Magola, the acting deputy principal academic, Mr. Skobane, curriculum manager, Ms. Kwesha, she's our acting deputy principal of finance, and of course, Mr. Dlamini, our council chairperson. And also, we've got the SRC, led by Sam Mukwena Mukwena, who's the president of the SRC, and the Secretary General, Vivian Kumalo, and my colleagues from the organized table, Ms. Mklalose, Mr. Mklalose from Nihau, Mr. Maseko from Neptosa, and Mr. Mabasa from SADU. Chair and honorable members of the committee, we welcome this opportunity. This opportunity offers us some reflections and also assists us in going back to our colleges and reflect and improves on our operations and doings. And also to make sure that despite the fact that our core function is teaching and learning, but there are other sides, things of social, socioeconomics that affect our student, as alluded by the channels, the DG, by the DDG and itself in terms of the gender-based violence, poverty at in our communities, bullying at the college. Those are the things that we take very serious of them to make sure that we minimize them.
Sorry, Mr. Mwamane, I was trying to be patient and see perhaps if there's a challenge with the camera. Or if you, so I've got a feeling that your camera is covered, so you may have opened the video, but your camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you see, yeah, when you're born before technology change, it's a problem. But I hope I can...
And then if you can lower your laptop so that the camera is more on you and not on the ceiling, there we go.
Oh, that's great.
And then also just to get an indication if you will be handing over to the chair of council at some point.
I don't see him ever logged in on the list of the members that are here, but once he's around...
Can we check if the chair of council is here? Because ordinarily, we would appreciate for the governance structure to make its open remarks and then hand over to yourselves as management.
Yes, no. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, no, he's around.
Yes, I'm around. Right. So I'm around, yes, thanks.
Okay, so could we kindly request colleagues that the chair of council make the opening remarks on behalf of the institution and then to hand over to management to then continue with the rest of the presentation. Is that okay?
No problem.
No, thank you very much. It's not
all right, thank you.
So would you want me to make a remark now or
yes, Madam Chair, to make your remarks now.
Okay, no, thank you very much. And once again, Thanks for the opportunity to be allowed to do this presentation. My name is Zenzele Dlamini. I'm a council chairperson of Southwest Gauteng College.
Mr. Dlamini, may we request that you open your camera, please, as requested at the start of the meeting?
Right. Let me try and see.
Okay, perfect. You may continue and then hand over to the principal, the acting principal of the institution.
No, thank you very much. As I said, thanks for the opportunity. I'm Zenzele Dlamini, the chairperson of Southwest Gauteng College. I will hand over to, we did present a detailed presentation to ensure that we represent our college and make sure that all the information that is required. We share it with the committee and the entire college representatives. So let me hand over to you, acting principal. Thank you very much. Once again.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dlamini. Let me proceed and project the presentation. Can you see my presentation?
I think, Honorable Ithia, your hand is up. May I ask what the hand is for?
Chair, it was on a lighter note. I wanted to ask if they were teaching ICT-related courses.
I knew that you're going to cover some anarchy.
No.
Principal, yeah. I think you're struggling on your side to project the presentation.
Yeah, and I asked Annele to do it from that side.
I think we have to assist.
Yes.
Anela, can we get confirmation that you are processing that? Okay, perfect.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We are offering ICT for the student, not for the adult. Chair, thank
you
very much.
You need upskilling for yourself and your executive principal.
No, in fact, we use mostly Teams, Chair. But nevertheless, Anela did assist. Chair, let me just, for the sake of time, let me just move to the college profile and quickly introduce the college to members of the committee, what SWG is all about. Chair, the college is one of the biggest colleges in the country based on enrollment. In an academic year, we enroll almost close to 20,000 students or more. We've got six sites and we are based in Soweto, and we stretch as far as the suburbs like Yoroliport and Randburg. We've got one campus in Molapo, we've got one in George Tavis in Durban, and we've got one campus in Dobsonville, while we've got one campus in Roliport and Roliport West. That is the college that we are finding ourselves. But however, in 2013, we saw the need of the primary agriculture. We went outside and bought a farm in Krugersdorp in Mohale City, where we have introduced primary agriculture. So we've got one satellite that we offer primary agricultural training, where we currently have about 170 students in that program. Can we just proceed to another slide? I will pass the three slides, which talks about the college vision and mission and our values, and go straight to the presentation skills. You can pass this one. Can pass this one as well. You can pass this one and that one as well. In terms of the governance structures, I'm not going to bore members of the committee with the CET Act prescript, but what I want to present is the compositions and the functionality of the College Council. If we can go to the next slide. The college has a fully functional a college council with its subcommittee that assists is running of the oversight structures. We have established an executive committee of council, the audit and risk committee council, finance committee, planning and resource, ICT governance committee, employability and human resource committee. Those are the committees that are functioning and well composited currently. Can we move to the second slide? The composition of the council are as presented there. Mr. Dlamini is our chairperson. Ms. Lamola is the vice chairperson. Myself there, Mr. Myaman is the acting internal council member. Mr. Masiza is the secretary. Mr. Schlemmer is the invitee for expertise in terms of advising the executive council, committee of council on matters that relates to the corporate at the college. And of course, Mr. Makola is an acting DPA. Whenever there is a necessary to invite him to come to this committee, we do that. And also Ms. Kwesha is the deputy principal of finance when we talk about relating to the issues that relates to finances. That is an executive committee of council. Can we move to the broader council? I think we have jumped the council, Anele. Can we go back? It's fine, Anele. We can proceed. But suffice to say, Chair and honourable members of the committee, we have a fully constituted council as per the CET Act, the council has been functioning with no problems. We are sitting in all our meetings, and the council is discharging its mandate as prescribed by the policy. The Audit and Risk Committee is chaired by Ms. Liao. Also, another member of the Audit Committee is Mr. Makwale. And Advocate Corombi have resigned, but we have since have worked on the process of replacing it. The new person will assume his position in the Audit and Risk Committee on the 1st of June. I'm also part of that committee. And Ms. Kwesha, who is also the internal member of the college, who is the CFO, is part of that committee. And Mr. Magagola, who is the manager on QMS, is also an internal member. And then Ms. Ngwambule, who is the college employee, is an internal member of this committee. And this committee is also fully constituted and functioning and hold its meeting as been prescribed in the charter. Can we move to another slide? That is the finance committee, is chaired by Ms. Liao, Mr. Makwele, Ms. Korumbi, who have resigned, myself, Ms. Kwesha, Mr. Magagola, and our internal auditor. Next committee. The planning committee is chaired by our deputy chairperson, Ms. Lamula. Ms. Mazibuko is an external member. Mr. Mayamani, myself, Mr. Schlemmer, the DPC, Mr. Matatu and the SNVT, and Mr. Daleni SNVT. Can we proceed? The city governance is chaired by the external member of the council, Mr. Nongovela, Mr. Mantata, an external member, Mr. Schlemmer, internal member, Mr. Sipato is our internal member, the IT manager, myself, and Mr. Steve, who is an IT technician, serves in that IT governance committee. The employability committee, one of the reasons why we have established committee, a chair, and the members of the committee is to assist our students and lecturers for placement. Hence, we established this committee. This committee is chaired by Mr. Nechibube, who is the chairperson, is an external member. Ms. Mazibuko, external member of this committee, myself, Mr. Sebe, who is new business development manager, Mr. Magula, the DPA, and Mr. Makapela, the marketing manager. They are forming part of this employability committee. Can we proceed? Human Resource and Remuneration Committee is chaired by Mr. Mazibuko, who is an external member of council. Another member of this committee is Mr. Nechibube, and Mr. Nogomela, external member, Mr. Schlemmer, the DPC, Mr. Choko. Mr. Choko is a staff member representing lecturers at the college, and Mr. Kuze is our SD, Assistant Director, Human Resource. Thank you. One of the other governance structures is the academic board. We've got fully constituted academic board also discharging its functions as expected, as prescribed by the CET Act. And the board is able to sit and direct all the curriculum related issues. The academic board consists of 51 members, of which majority of those members are lecturers. The board members comprises of 16 African females and 32 African males, and 2 males who are colored and one person. That is the academic board of the college. Is also functioning very well and fully constituted. Can we move to the SRC? The Student Representative Council is also well constituted, fully constituted as the CET Act. We've got Samukelo Mokoena, who is a male, is the president of the SRC. Is Nonhlanhla Samkosi, deputy president, Vivian Khumalo, secretary, Faith Matabane, deputy secretary, Vulindela Masindi is the treasurer general, Tabile Stole, sports and culture, Nhlanhla Buthelezi is the academic, Lucia Mahaka, gender and disability, Tandeka Mthembu, health and safety, Nomvula Muleane Employability and Aviwe Bekwa Events and Communication Officer in the SRC. Can we move? In terms of the gender in management and government structures of in the student populace, in council chairperson and members of the committee, the council constitutes out of 4 females, 9 males, and the total is 18. The academic board is 51 members, 16 of them are female, and 35 of them are males. Student representative council, 7 females, 4 males, and total number is 11. Senior management of the college is 1 female and 3 males, 1 white and 3 Africans, and all of that translated to 4. Middle management of the college is constituted by the 6 females, 15 males, and in total there are 21. Campus managers at various campuses, we've got 6 campuses, as I alluded in my opening remark. There are 4 females, 2 males, and in total there are 6. In terms of the student, currently for the first term of enrollment, that will include all the semester 1 year course and trimester 1, we already have enrolled 15,019 students. Of that 15,019 students, 9,572 are female students and 5,447 are males. And I also want to say, Chair, 1,002 of those students who are female are registered in engineering. Can we proceed? In terms of our finances as the college, we are floating very well. We're a going concern. You can see the from 2020, 2021, 2022, we are handling our finance correctly. We are increasing our bank balance in terms of the zero rating, zero risk investment. Whenever we've got surpluses in our bank account to make sure that we yield some interest and grow our balances. We total, as we stand now by the end of April this year, we are sitting at 864 million in our bank account. So we are well off in terms of the finances at the college. Can we move? In terms of the progress report in disbandment of the National Student Financial Aid Schemes, funding and allowance, the number of students for 2022 that were NAFSA's beneficiary, they were 6,668, and those that were uploaded for the student were 5,229, and number of the students under progress that we are busy uploading are 1,439. In terms of the tuitions, number of the students loaded, it was 5,229, and accommodation paid, we paid 401 students, and living allowance 5,229 were paid, and for transport 4,828 students were paid, and grant total amounts to that. In terms of the amounts for tuition, the college received that 43 million, and the student accommodation which were paid to the student amounts to 9 million. And then the allowance paid equals to that 11,695,810, and the transport allowance amounts to 26 million. And of course, at the end of the day, it gives us the final figure of 90 million and so on. In terms of the disbursement, which were paid direct by NAFSAS, the student were 1,610. In terms of the accommodation, 279. For allowance, there were 4,714. For transport, there were 4,435. In total, it's 11,038 students. Amounts it dispersed is 5,576,607. For accommodation was 2 million, and for allowance was 3 million, and for transport that was given to the student were 8 million, and total amounts to 19 million. The upfront that we received as a college from NAFSAS was 26 million, and allowance that were given to a student who are residing at our accommodation at our training center for primary agriculture were that 1.4 million. Can we move to another slide? In terms of the student accommodation, currently, my apology, Chairperson and honorable members, I was just checking my figures when I was doing this, but I forgot to insert the figure there. Currently, we are hosting 170 students at the college accommodation and for primary agriculture. But however, we want to turn that site into a fully fledged campus. We are working on this project that you see there. Plans are already being submitted to municipality for approval, and we intend to accommodate 600 students when this accommodation is completed so that that satellite can become a fully fledged campus for primary agriculture, which will allow us to introduce many programs there, including your agro-processing and smart farming. We just want to make it one of our special unit, center of specialty at the college in terms of the primary agriculture. So those are the accommodation that we are currently working on and constructing for that site for primary agriculture. Next slide. You can proceed. In terms of the partnership and work-based integrated learning, we have established a unit, Chair and members of the committee. That unit is a fully-fledged unit. Its mandate is to look out for host employers, get accreditation from the CETAs, and also work with the partnership both internationally and internally, so that we've got findings from the CETAs that will allow the student to receive stipends to go to the host employer and serve the internship in terms of the work experience, but also placement for the qualification purposes. To date, as you can see the numbers there, 100 students were funded by the MI CETA, 50 students by EW CETA, 26 students by Mining CETA, 80 students by, that's the Litatsi Education, is the private partnership that we have, 20 students by Global Optima, 7 students funded by the Clover, only for the hospitality student, and 100 students by World Training, 25 students by Harmonized Business Solutions, and 25 students funded by WH Student through Strategic Life Itala, 234 students funded by the Food and Beverages CETA, 30 students funded by the CAT CETA, and 160 students funded by SAS CETA, CETA, and FPMA CETAs. These are the students, this funding, Chair and honorable members of the committee, allow the student to receive stipends, transport money, so that they can be placed at different host employers, either for experiential learning or for them to serve the internship so that at the end of the 18 months they can receive their diploma. Can we proceed? And in terms of the lecturer placement, because as I've indicated, the units serve two purposes, lecturer placement and student placement. We received some findings from the Energy and Water CETA, where 10 lecturers from Roodepoort have attended some training at the resolution cycle for PLC. 35 lecturers are funded by Transport Education and Authority to attend placement for various interventions. 2 human resource management attended the placement at the Clover funded by FoodBest, and 10 lecturers from Roodepoort West campus attended Mechatronics and even went to Germany in March for experiential learning. And with this project, Chair and members of the committee, we are going to introduce Mechatronics and SCV next year. we already have the site that we are working on, and the plans of the construction is also going to start very soon, as soon as the plans are approved. So we are going to introduce mechatronics at the college as one of the program at the college. Can we proceed? In terms of the signed MOU and MOA by the private sector, the college have the following MOU with the following organizations. We've got a Noorderpoort College Exchange Programs based in Netherlands. I think we've got 13 years relationship with them with exchange programs. We've got the BBW Mechatronics Programs and Lecturer Development with the Germans that we have signed MOU with them. We've got Amazon for Internet of Things that they are offering now for our ITC student and also our lecturers based in UK. We also have an MOU with Dr. Richard Maponya Institute for Skills and Entrepreneurial Development and Placement for the student. As we know that in Soweto there is a Maponya Mall and also Balo that is also owned by Maponya. So our agreement here is to make sure that our students in various programs are able to access a workplace at that mall in various jobs that are there. That's part of we are doing this for, but also for their motto sales company that they have and repairs. Some of our mechanical students are doing their internship with them. And also students who are doing marketing, they are also working on the sales intents in their motor dealership. We do also have Huawei accredited at one of the campuses for the ICT Academy. And Huawei also, and with NEPAD, funded the college to become one of the 5G campus with equipment value of 25 million, which was given to us. And 100 students from Katlehong, Davidton, and Oradapark, Soweto are attending online Cisco IT Essential Program funded by EDTP CETA. The EPWP and Agri CETA for Partnerships, University of Free State, we also have a partnership with them, University of Johannesburg and City of Johannesburg, and also Mohale City. With Mohale City, we built a clinic, and where the Mohale City has given us some nurses to man that clinic at the college in one of our campuses in Mohalesburg. Can we proceed? And that's just the continuation of the MOU that we have signed, Transport CETAS, NPC, Pro Coding Consultants, Gauteng E-Governance and University of Johannesburg, SAFSA, RTMS, City of Johannesburg for Lecturer Development, Thuthukisa Agricultural Student, Budibeng Academy, and JFA2 Technical Training Institution. Those are a continuation of the list of the partnership that we have for the benefit of the lecturer's placement and the student placement. And the list goes on. We've got a lot more than this chairperson and members of the committee. Can we proceed? We are almost accredited, not really, let me not say almost. We are accredited by 18 CETAs in the country in various programs. And just to name the few, the MI CETA accredited the George Temple campus as the IT center for specialization and also a TVET office establishment. The Mining Qualification Authority also funded the college staff members with a bursary of 4.8 million and also the lecturer placement for 700,000. Food and Bev CETA, the college received about 33 million for apprenticeship, and the Energy and CETA the Memorandum of Understanding collaborate with a special project with the Energy CETA in terms of the solar and renewable energy that we are working with them. Can we proceed? We also received 27 million from National Skills Fund, and that money for 370 beneficiaries, that includes the 15 electrician trade, welding workshop refurbishment to qualify as the trade center, because some of our workshop we need to bring them to the standard where they can be accredited as the TREAT centers. And we've got 10 willful lecturers, 5 lecturers attended the PLC training, 295 students on various learnerships, and 15 willful business studies and 30 willful engineering students. Can we proceed? We introduced robotics as one of the soft skills, and it was attended by Honorable Deputy Minister Butimana Mela, that we just want to show that we also have ventured in this particular scarce skills in the country. And here we were, the students who have done in this robotics were graduating and also demonstrating what they have learned. Can we proceed? With the collaboration with the WAWI, we also have a collaboration with them where the students were taught how to fix the WAWI gadget, and they will be accredited as the technician for WAWI project, where they will be assisted in opening kiosks in malls, in provinces where they're coming from, and they will be able to fix WAWI gadget. And that graduation was attended by Honorable Minister of Employment and Labour, Tula Sintisi. Can we proceed? In terms of the student success dropout and throughput rates, courses and measures and put in place to address them, the college management performance for the academic year under review, number one is that the pass rate for report 191 was sitting at 76.59%, certification rate 40%. The certification rate is those students who pass all their subjects in the given academic year. And retention rate, how we arrive at in retention rate, we look at the student who have registered at the beginning of the year and minus the student who sat for the examination at the end of the year. Of course, this talks about the dropouts. And the dropout, the composition of the dropout relates to those students who drop out in terms of whether they find employment, some of them being arrested, some of them do not qualify to write examinations, and many other issues that I've tabled in the next slide that will explain the composition of the dropout. The pass rate for report 191 engineering is 53%. Certification rate is 32.93, retention rate is 90.14%, and pass rate for national certificate vocational studies 72.36%, certification rate for national certificate vocational studies 40.05%, retention rate is 79%, and throughput rate is 13%, and for native programs and throughput rate for national certificate is 11%. Can we proceed? Those are some of the reasons, but not limited to, in terms of the compositions of the student, why the student are dropping out. As I've indicated, that one of the reasons could be because they found a full-time employment, arrest, pregnancies, substance abuse, late payments of student allowance by NAFSA, student not meeting sub-minimum, wrong career choice, psychosocial economic issues, the impact of the COVID and mortality. But I just want to highlight on number six, Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee, that we give students a second chance to be reassessed so that they can qualify. So we are also trying to assist the student that those that write their test and they don't have the qualifying mark to sit for the examinations, they are given a second chance to do so. Can we proceed? These are some of the intervention and remedial that we are taking as the college to give support to the student to mitigate the dropout by the student. And one of the things that we do there at point number one is that the college has employed two counselors to deal with the student psychosocial economic matters, and including whether it's gender-based violence, bullying, and some illnesses, these counselors are able to deal with those problems of the students at the college. Every campus has a student support officer that monitors student attendance. Whenever the student has not been attending for the 3 days, student officers will then alert the lecturers and the lecturers, and through the HOD, they will follow up with the student and the student parents and find out why the student has 3 days not coming to campus to attend classes. All campuses have remedial lecturers, especially for your literacy and numeracy, because we realize that, especially for students who are coming from NCV, they are struggling with the NCV syllabi, and we decided that we should be employing remedial lecturers to assist in numeracy and literacy. And students who have failed to meet sub-minimum, as I've indicated, they are given second chance as one of the intervention measures that we have to give them to make sure that they qualify to write exams. We do have also career advice to all prospective students. Before the student registers at the college, what we normally do after they've elected their program, we sit with them and advise them, and subject to the student profiler, and that profiler will give the result and with the option that the student will attend. It's from those results that the career advice committee will sit with the student and try to show the student the advantage and disadvantage of the student or the chosen career that they want, and suggest other program that will the student be. But should the student insist, we always allow the student to take their first choice. We give the student remedial support for those students who are needing such interventions, and all the campuses are equipped with 24-hour free Wi-Fi with 200 megabytes per speed per second. So students with this student are able to make their research with any gadget that they have. The college also procured a software system called Academic Support Technology to assist the student with the skills and numeracy literacy. These are self-taught programs that in our timetable, we've got a period where the student will go on themselves, go into the system, enter into a match, and it will take them through the phases until to the advanced stage. But student will never go to another level until they finish that particular level, whatever the match side that they will be doing on the system. The campus library is also uploaded with laptops in all our libraries, and also we've got on our server, we've got ebooks, and these ebooks are able to be accessed by the student through their mobiles or any electronic gadgets that they have. So they don't need to go into the library to access these books. They can get these books through their gadgets. And all the lecturers at the college have been provided with laptops and data and dongles for them to be able to provide blended learning to the student, and also assist the student, the lecturers, to download some videos and do some better research that will augment the subject that they are teaching in class. Can we proceed? We, as alluded by the chairperson, we did went to Commission on Gender Equity, and we have presented, and we came back and sharpened our doing in terms of what we presented to that commission. A lot has been done. You'll see with the graphs that we're going to present in this area. But in a nutshell, we have the college management continue with this gender equality and people with disability transformation. In campuses, chairperson and members of the committee, we've got six sites. In that six sites, we've got four managers who are female and two males who are managers. In college students represented, as I've alluded, we've got seven who are females and we've got four who are males. We also have, the college, we have also enrolled 24 blind students and in our two campuses, and nine of them are female and five of them are males. All these students, chairperson, they have a unit that we have established. We call them disability unit, and those two campuses, and they got assistance from that unit. And they are also being provided with laptops with relevant software like your JAWS. We give them also some assistive devices like voice recorders. And those who are partially blind, we give them the magnifiers. And those who've got hard hearing, we give them hearing aids. And we also provide scribers for the blind student and other students who might need them for various those who have got various disabilities who require this assistance for scribers during examinations. Both these companies have disability units, as I've indicated, and we also have received $4.2 million that we are using for infrastructure upgrade from the DHET in terms of upgrading our sites to make sure that they are disability friendly, and we also ensure that the necessary assistive devices are bought and given to the student with learning barriers. Can we proceed? To date, the college have enrolled 9,572 students and female students. The college, we have enrolled 15,019 students, and committee, my apology. And out of that, 9,572 are female, and 1,002 are females are registered for engineering, and 5,447 are male students for this academic year. And we still have one trimester and one semester. So we obviously reach our target of 20,000 plus students at the end of this financial year. In terms of the sexual harassment, we do some campaigns. We both students and lecturers. And to date, we have charged two members with the sexual harassment, two members of the college, and one case has been concluded, and the outcome is dismissal. And however, the member have lodged an appeal, and the second case is at final stage. In terms of the gender violence campaign, we annually hold a march where, in support with the student and members of the community, we'll go to various police station next to particular campus. This time around was arranged by George Tebo campus and Molapo campus, and their nearest police station was Moroka police station, where the student, ourselves as management and members of the community, went and handed out a memorandum to Moroka police station in support to the police and also wanting to work with them in relation with the issues that relating to GBV. Can we proceed? That is just a picture of ourselves marching to that police station. In terms of the gender transformation, chair and members of the committee, we create a platform or a pool where we make sure that female and people with disabilities are given opportunity to partake in those structures of decision making, for them to gain experience so that when opportunities arises, they should be able to apply and be appointed. Now, if you look at that graph, for the salary 12, which are your deputy principals, we don't have a principal at the current moment. I'm the acting principal, so there's no principal. We are still waiting for the final appointment of the principal. We have one female and one male, and one white, so there are three. In terms of the salary level 11, we don't have any at the moment, but we should be advertising very soon because our PPN has been approved by the department. For salary 10, we've got two African male. That's all that we have in that area. For salary level 9, we've got three African male. For salary level 8, we've got one African male, five African female, one white female, and one female colored. Salary level 7, we've got 9 African males, 16 African females, and the rest is 0. For salary level 5 to 6, we've got 41 who are African males and 64 who are African females, and the rest of those other races are zeros. And for salary 2 to 4, 13 of them are African males and 11 of them are females, and 0 to the rest of the columns there. Can we proceed to another slide? for the lecturing staff, for your PL5, which are the campus managers, we've got two who are African males and one African male. And of course, Chairperson, we do have also those that are acting that we could not put them there. We've got two females currently who are acting as the campus managers. For PL3, which are our HOD, 11 of them are African males and 6 of them are female and 2 are white and 1 is African, is a male colored. For senior lecturers, we've got 22 who are African males and we've got 18 who are African females, 3 which are white female and the rest is nothing there. And for post level 1 in terms of the lecturing staff, 164 you African male lecturers and female lecturers, we've got 182 in terms of the gender transformation. Can we proceed? These are the curriculum delivery. For Dobsonville, I'm just going to touch on this one and I think we'll follow the logic as I proceed. Under enrollment, the campus enrolled 1,652. And the number of the students who written under, they were 1,397, and the number passed was 1,010. Pass on enrolled 61%, pass on written 72%, average passed is 66, 85% is the retention, and certified student who received total of their 4 subjects were 673. And enrolled on certificate is 40.99 and written 48 and average is 44.58 and passed four or five subjects was 673 students and passed on 3 subjects were 337 and total distinctions for that campus is 281. For George Table, 271 students enrolled, 234 have written, 224 passed, the pass enrolled was 80% and the pass on written was 95%, an average passed with translate to 88 and retention 83% and head certified were 158, 56 student, 50%, 56.63% were certified on enrolled, certified on written was 67.52, average was 62.08, and pass 4 or 5 subject were 158 students and pass 3 subject were 63 and distinctions were 5-3 subject. I'm not going to go to, because of the sake of the time, but in total, the college for that particular semester 1 and 2 under the academic year review, we registered for general studies 5,454 students, 3,807 wrote, and 2,805 passed, and pass on enrolled was 61%, pass on written 73%, average was 67.64, and head retention was 83.60, and certified were 1,846, certified on enrolled was 40.4%, 48.49% was on written, and certificate average set at 44.52, and those have passed between 4 and 5 subjects were 1,846, and those who passed 3 subjects were 959, and distinction, total distinction for those semesters were 719. Can we proceed? For NCV, similarly, I will just go into the pass rate. The pass rate on written was 80%. The average pass rate was 7.2. Retention was 61%. Certified were 216. On enrolled, 23.78%. On written, 38%. And total distinctions were 282. For George Table, pass on written was 73%, 71.99. Pass average was 63% and retention 77% and certificate on written was 39.81% and distinctions 559. Molapo campus, pass on written pass rate on written was 58.74%, retention 78.38%, and certification rate on written 19.06, and number of distinction achieved 160. For Roodepoort campus, pass on written was 78.28%, and retention was 85%. Certified on written was 48.49%, and total distinction 414. For Roodepoort campus is an engineering campus. The pass rate on written was 59.88, and retention was 79.80%. Certification rate on written was 30.25%, distinction 56. For Technisa campus, which is a business campus, pass on written was 87.62, retention rate 88.26, and certificate on and written was 61.69%, and distinctions were 382. For the college-wide for this program, we have achieved 72% on written, and retention was 79%, and certification rate was 40.05, and total distinctions amounts to 1,853. Can we proceed? For natural science, which is engineering programs, for N1 on written, the achievement there was 81.99%, and retention was 92.37%. Certification rate on written was 58.56%, and distinctions were 294. N2, pass on written 50%, retention was 89%, and certification on written was 25.27%, and distinction 67%. N3, pass on written 47.50%, and retention was 93.2%, and certification on written was 29.75%, and distinction 74. For N4, pass on written was 41.25%, and retention was 85.84%, and certification rate on written was 22.44%, and distinction 21 distinctions. N5, pass on written is 38.10%, and retention was 88%, certification rate 21.3%, and distinction 23. For N6, pass on written 35.25%, retention 90%, 8.84%, and certification rate on written was 16.55%, and distinction 11%. For these programs for the two levels, total for the college unwritten was 53.65%, and retention, the student that we able to retain was 90.14%, and certification rate was 32%, and 0.93, and distinctions were 490 distinctions. Can we proceed? We normally, after each and every assessment, both internally and externally, embarked on the analysis of performance per individuals. We do analyze all the 398 lecturers where we see where they are standing in terms of their performance. Starting, there are lecturers who are achieving 100%, and the highest lecturers at the moment who achieve 95%, and the lowest person was about 24 or 34%. But now these lecturers are headed by head of department. So the list that you see, these are the head of department who are heading these lecturers in different components. For example, we take Ms. Konyela from Technisa campus. Under her leadership or NCV, there were 494 students enrolled, 433 students, 436 students wrote for the examination. Retention was 88.26%, and number of the students certified was 269. And a certified on roll was 61.5%, and distinctions were, and performance, average on performance pass was 58.07%, and distinctions are 382. So those chair and members of the committee are a list of those head of departments who are heading different their programs at their various campuses. Can we proceed? Oh, that's the end. Thank you, Program Director and Chairperson and members of the committee. We shall wait for questions, and we will be ready to give questions. And also, my deputy principals, who, curriculum managers who are also here, will also come in terms of the expect in their areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Acting Principal Munyamane. Thank you very much for that presentation. Colleague, I must indicate though that it's, you know, I was very tempted to interrupt the acting principal because colleagues went way over the time allocated to them. And we understand that there is a lot that you may want to share with us, also given the scope that we gave to yourselves of the information that we request. However, you know, the structure of Parliament is quite challenging in terms of, you know, the time and how the program is structured. So we really urge on colleagues to work with us in remaining within the time allocation that is afforded to them. So I'd now like to hand over to the SRC, led by Mr. Mokwena, to make their presentation. You had 15 minutes allocated to you, well, you have 15 minutes allocated to yourself. So if colleagues could wrap up at around 10:25, would really appreciate that. So I'd like to, or rather 10:27, I'd like to then hand over to colleagues from the SRC.
Thank you, Program Director. I'm not sure if I must also open my camera so that everyone can be able to see me. My name is Sankelo Mokwena, the sitting president of Southwest Gauteng TVET College, based in Soweto, Gauteng. All protocol observed. I'm not sure if Wabu Anele can assist us to share the screen of our presentation so that we must not take more time busy trying to do this thing for our eye. Thank you, Wabu Anele. As I said, that we are the SRC of the biggest college, actually one of the biggest college in the country, and we are here to give you. This is the SRC that was elected this year in 2022. There will be seven. Yes.
Can I? Propose. I've got a feeling you are quite a handsome young man. However, because the windows are behind you, the light is coming from behind you and not in front of you. Therefore, we can't see ubuhle bakho yabo.
Hey, I think I have tried now.
Or let me try to close this window.
Thank you, Chairperson.
That's much better. Thank you so much.
Thanks. This is the current SRC that was elected this year, 2022. They will be serving the term of 2022 to 2023. Can we go to the next slide? The SRC was constituted under the City Act policy that governs all the TVET colleges in the country. And in the SRC of the college, we consist of 11 members elected by students of the college in line with the constitution of the SRC. where we have seven African males and seven African females and four African males, as per the table below. And then I'm the president, and Nontanda, as the principal alluded, I don't think to save time, we can go to the next slide. Thank you. The functions of SRC, the crucial one, it is very important that the SRC represent the whole student's body irrespective of students' formation. The SRC is the voice of all students and linked between students and college management. The students of the college are represented by SRC in all matters that may affect them. While the umbrella of the student organizations and college clubs. Can we go to other slide? The student representative is governed by its constitution. It was approved in 2021, April, and is the one that took us to elections. Number two, the elections took place on the 28th of April, 2022. Where we elected the SRC per the college SRC constitution. And we had our induction from the 12th to the 15th of May 2022. And we always have the college induction annually so that everyone can be able to understand their portfolios and the policies and the governance related matters. Can we move to our next slide? The SRC participate in college governance. We are in the college academic board, where the SRC president, secretary general, and academic general forms part of the academic board, and we are given an opportunity during the meeting to present the SRC report, which is informed by the student academic related matters. For example, learning materials, timetables, registration, and retention of students. And we are also represented in the College Council. And the president of the college and the SG of the college forms part of the College Council meeting. We're also given time, we can say, opportunity to report on what's happening on the ground and matters that are affecting students in the committee. Thank you. We can go to the next slide. Our other engagements. Campus SRC, they have forum meetings where they engage on state of it of their campuses. And all campuses, six campuses, SRC form of part of forum meetings. This platform is intended to manage any other matters that might intimate from campuses at campus level and its impact on teaching and learning. We also have meetings with the senior management of the college and SRC quarterly, but if there are issues that are pressing, we check their diary if they cannot give us space so that we can meet with them. And just to make the portfolio committee aware that is our SMT is very good in meeting the SRC, and we always make sure that we discuss issues when we meet with the SMT, and issues that pertain to students and academics. Thank you. We can go to our next slide. Student challenges. The student challenges are still facing is the issue of NSFAS. Late response and payment, and some of the students are rejected while they qualifying based on the basic requirement as per standard policy, and it becomes difficult for such students to get hold of NSFAS contact center because it's always busy there due to its concentrated system. Since COVID-19 pandemic, teaching and learning requires e-learning. However, college is not capacitated to offer e-learning, and students have not been provided with data to learn online. NSFAS, through the Office of the Minister, they have given students who are beneficiary of NSFAS laptops. And our own students, they do not get data from NSFAS. So it's very difficult for them to learn to go for e-learning because of they do not have enough resources that they can use in the college. So we're asking if possible this committee can assist on that regard. The college has the missing middle class students who are not funded by NSFAS. And when students funded and when students who are funded by NSFAS receive laptops, such students are not yet catered for by the college. We are currently engaging college management in this matter so that we can see how best can we then assist the students of who are not funded by NSFAS. The engineering students are given PPEs once off in some campuses and are not yet issued, and such students are required to be in workplace more than once in a week, so per their subject guidelines. Can we please move to the next? It's a continuation. The issue of repeating of students on occupational programs and internship based on favoritism. Most students who have just completed their NCs are complaining of not being assisted due to those who are being repeated and doing internships for more than the third or fourth time without allowing others a chance. As the college, we have been having talks about these issues, and we're hoping that very soon we will be resolving this issue. There's a recognition, as you know, when you are being elected and you are in the SRC or a student leader, you'll be victimized by lecturers, and some lecturers threaten students and SRC who speaks against them. And then students are told that they will fail if they continue to speak against the lecturers. We have noted such, and such lecturers do not even follow their code of conduct as indicated on the stake. As the principal has indicated that already there are two lecturers who are charged on sexual harassment. The college admission policy is not followed to the latter, and as such, it creates inconsistency in student administration. Can we please go to the next slide? These are general challenges of the college. Lack of transfer across streams in the education system. The idea of a student to move from one stream to another, which is so that they can see a better career path. Whichever interest they take is not getting much support in their enforcement. Resources for TVET are very limited. Equipment from previous investments are left idling due to the expensive trading supply. No capacity of repairing for repair the imported equipment, and few knew how to use it. Some of this equipment has already become realistic and of previous industrial requirement. TVET does not respond to the demands of the market and the needs of the industry. Many of this leading the TVET system looks at industry not as partner, but as a source of funds. They have no desire to develop partnership with the industry beyond funding. Lack of industrial experience for many TVET lecturers. TVET institution cannot rely really hire trainees from the industry as their fees are much higher. Often TVET institution have no hired graduates of the government teachers training institute. Can we go to the next slide? Thank you. This was our presentation. We will be here to take any question with the Secretary General. Thank you.
Thank you very much to colleagues from the SRC, Mr. Mokoena, together with your SG, for that succinct presentation. I would like to then hand over to workers. I'm not sure how you have structured your presentation in terms of who will present on behalf of the collective. If I can have that indication, please.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mabasa. Will you be presenting on behalf of Nahal Sathu and Naptosa?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, you may go ahead, Mr. Mabasa. You are allocated 15 minutes as well. So you may go ahead with your 15 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, the chairperson and all members of the committee. I'll request Ausneo Ledwaba, the PA to the principal of the college, to reflect my slides there. Presentation slides that I've sent on Monday. So if the slides are not reflected, I think I can just go through because I do have the hard copy of the slides here, if it is okay with the committee.
1 second, can we have an indication if Ms. Ledwaba is assisting in that regard? All right,
Anela,
are we able to?
Chair, no. She's not able to do that. I don't think she's even in the office because I'm not in the office where she is now. So I would suggest that we ask Anela to assist if it's not going to take much of the time.
Are we able to assist, Anela?
Unfortunately, I do not have the presentation of the union from the college.
Yeah, that's what I also thought, but I just wanted to confirm with you. Colleague, we didn't receive the presentation. So it seems as though it might have been sent to management, but it was not sent to the committee. So can that be sent to us, please? Mr. Mabasa, can you indicate how you intend on getting the presentation to us?
Yeah, I did send it to the college on Monday. So I thought maybe they will make it a point that they sent it to you so that I can also present.
Yeah, so they didn't send it to us and Mr. Ledwaba is not in the office. So can you try and arrange, so you can't project on your side from your device?
No. Can I present because I do have the hard copy here. Then immediately after this, I will make it a point that we send you the presentation slide, if it's okay.
You may continue.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, the chairperson, members of the committee, and the principal of the college. So
apologies, Mr. Mabasa, I see HP Namusa, your hand is up. Colleagues, if you do have any further contributions to make, please put them on the chat so that we don't disrupt the processes. You may continue, Mr. Mabasa.
Okay, thank you very much. I am just going to use the time allocated. So I'm currently stationed at the Technisa campus, and some of the aspects that I'm going to allude to already has been indicated by the principal as well as the SRC president. So at Technisa campus, the composition of Technisa campus is as follows. We have the active campus manager, Mrs. Makasa S, the deputy campus manager, Ngwenya P, acting head of faculty, HOD, Mrs. Mjali, Mrs. Gwanyela, faculty head of department, distance education and online, Maseko V, head of admin, Mrs. Sibola S. So on the next slide, we have program managers, commonly known as senior lecturers. Mathematical sciences, we have Mr. Nobo F, English and Communication Studies, Mrs. Mutumuni V, Life Skills and Computer Practice, Mrs. Ngosi, Tourism, Mr. Tefata R, Office Administration, Mrs. Butelezi BN, Marketing, Mrs. Ricotto, Management, Mr. Mabasa M. And then on the next slide, the total number of lecturing staff, including senior lecturers or program managers, we are 44. Total number of support staff, 15. Total number of interns that are currently assisting the campus, 27. So on the next slide, the college helps all students without any discrimination to build their self-awareness The college provides unique equal opportunities to all students who are enrolled at the college. To make it a point that they use the time allocated to study, to use the resource centers, and also use the Wi-Fi which is provided by the college, and they also participate in all educational excursions. So due to COVID-19, for the past 2 years, we did not have educational excursions. So all students also benefit and grow personally from their educational experiences, because students are getting experiences on a daily basis, and they are also encouraged to learn at their own pace. And as lecturers, we try by all means to give them more information, not just more information, but relevant information, so that they are able to can reproduce what they shall have learned in the examination settings, and also apply to answer some of the questions according to their level of understanding. So after successful completion of their studies, all students are offered an opportunity, like the principal has indicated earlier on, to participate in internships, learnerships, and apprenticeships for a period of 18 months, so that they are certificated by the Department of Higher Education and Training and the college, so that they get their diplomas for those who are doing the famous Report 191 NATED and those who are doing a national certificate vocational. So the college teaches all students about the importance of well-being and proposes a positive practices, including how to manage emotions, how to engage in workplace as they attend on an ongoing basis, how to have positive relations with others, developing positive relationships or relations with other students, because they cannot exist in isolation. They work collectively and collaboratively with all students at the college. And most critically, how to have meaning in life. So on the very last slide, the college also make it a point that lecturers attend the so-called WBE, work-based experience, and students do the work-integrated learning opportunities. So they are sent to hotels for those who are doing hospitality and tourism, for those who are doing transport and logistics and tourism. I remember in 2016, 44 students went to Durban for attending the work-integrated learning, which was organized by the college as well as SPAKI. And recently, lecturers in the tourism division attended the annual tourism Indaba, which is normally organized in KZN. But for the past 2 years, due to COVID-19, they did not attend this. And the students are also given an opportunity to attend this, because when they come back, they will be able to do the practical components, because this is according to DHET that students must attend the practical part of what they're doing in the classroom situation. So the level 4 tourism students are also given an opportunity, like I indicated, to attend the Indaba, as it is part of their practical component as per the DHET directives. As a college, we are also working with other companies. We do the so-called guest lecturers. We invite in the industry to come and do the practical part, what is happening in the labor market. Because in most cases, when we do NCV, we normally concentrate on the theory part of our programs, be it finance, economics and accounting, office administration, tourism, generic management, transport and logistics, and so forth. So when we invite those industry experts, surely they show them the practical part. And as 6 campuses, we are also working collaboratively. We are also doing guest lecturing internally. Like, I'm currently stationed at the Technisa, but there will be a time during which I am invited at the George Taylor campus or the Rodeo Board to offer lessons in entrepreneurship and business management, or financial accounting, cost and management accounting, just to give an example. And this is the only challenge that we are facing as lecturers is that at our side, we do not have the so-called lecturer workstations, but the college is working on it. At Technisa currently, there are 2 rooms which have been identified by the campus. So those rooms are going to be converted into lecturer rooms, where lecturers will be able to do their lesson planning and presentation, as well as do research, because we are forever using the textbook. Yes, we cannot dispute the fact that the textbook still remains as the source of information, but we need to beef it up with some internet downloads. We visit a Google Scholar to search for information so that we give our students more information. And at campus level, because they are provided with Wi-Fi, we encourage them to do downloads. They use the Wi-Fi to download whatever that they want to download. So when they are at home, they are able to check the exercises, extra exercises that they have downloaded in order to be confident when they sit for assessments, be it assignments, elective exercises, projects, or even final examination. We are trying our level best. Even the college is trying very hard to make it a point that all our students, without any discrimination, are given relevant information so that they pass, and not just pass, to pass well, pass with excellent results so that they join the labor market confidently. And all students are also encouraged to open up their own businesses, to become successful entrepreneurs, so that at the end of the day, they are able to reduce the higher rate of unemployment that the country is facing. Thank you very much. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mabasa, and to workers at SWGT Wit College. I'd like to now hand over to colleagues. Well, that wraps up, honorable members and colleagues, our presentations from the Southwest Gauteng TVET College. We would now then move on to the Northern Cape Urban TVET College. Colleagues would remember that we had worked with the Northern Cape Rural TVET College. Now we are receiving a briefing from the Northern Cape Urban TVET College. I'd like to then hand over to the Chair of Council to officially open on behalf of the institution, then hand over to the principal.
Honorable committee. Am I okay? Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Committee. I think it's with a warm heart that we are welcoming today Parliament also to come and get some kind of information from the Northern Cape. Honorable Chairperson, I must mention that this management and the council is relatively very new. The management started, most of them, but let me start first to introduce who is here present today, because I'm running against time, Honorable Chairperson, so I wanted to stay within the 35 minutes that Parliament has given us to do the presentation. I'm Honorable Junita Bukas. I'm the Chairperson of Council, and I was appointed in 2019. To serve on council. Next to me is the Deputy Chairperson, Honorable Mr. Madagani, who is the Deputy Chair of Council. Then I've got present here today the Principal, Mr. Madalani, who was also appointed very late in 2018 as the Principal of the College. Then next to him, I've got Mem Clowley, who is the Deputy Principal for Corporate Services. He also started late in 2018. Then I've got the CFO, Mr. Jacobs, who is also the Deputy Principal of Finance. He also started towards the end of 2018. And then I've got present Mem Musi, who is the Deputy Principal for Academic, unfortunately. With sad news that we received on Monday morning that a mother passed on, so our apology is tabled here this morning. Then we've got Mem Makopong, who is the HR manager. She's also present here. And then also in our midst, it's our SRC, who is present here. The president of the SRC, unfortunately, she's writing exams this morning, but the deputy principal, deputy president of the SRC, Ma'am Jasper, she's present here today. The secretary general of the SRC, Ms. Diamond, she's present here today. And the treasurer general of the SRC, Ms. Kobo, is also present here today. Then also from our union side, who they linked in from their offices where they are. We've got Mr. Plouy from the PSA. We've got Mr. Peterson from COSA. We've got Mem Kumasi from SATU. And then we've got Mr. Kasamba from Nahawu. So those are the representatives today here at this meeting with the Honorable Committee. As I said earlier, this college comprised out of three campuses, and the one campus is your central campus, which is situated in town. Then we've got the Moromakolo campus and Patiman campus that's situated in Galejwe. So those are the three campuses that we are operating from. Our student population as of today, we are standing at 6,949, and our staff is at 225. As I earlier said, the College Council is fully established since 2019, of which some of the council members only joined the council very late due to the processes of appointment, vetting, and clearance. So some of them, but as we are speaking now, we are now fully constituted council at this point of time. The college also has got the programs that we are running here, and we've also established our academic board. We have our HR board, the subcommittees, we've got our finance subcommittee, and then we also have the audit and risk subcommittee, and then we've got the EXCO subcommittee, which consists of the chair of chairs of those subcommittees. Then the college management, as I earlier said, Honorable Chairperson and committee, if what I mentioned earlier, they started 2018, late 2018. So when the council came on board, we were a bunch of new group trying to find our feet here, because unfortunately two of the deputy principals were also appointed from outside, so and it became a challenge for the college, and the college also then started to train people and send them on courses to bring them on board what the Institute of Higher Education is expecting from our lecturers. And but I must say, Honorable Chairperson and committee, they are very young and they are very energetic, and I think that the SRC or the students challenge them because they are running nearly on the same age, but nevertheless they could manage them. Chairperson, the union representatives, we do have the union representatives serving on together with the SRC president and the secretary general of the SRC. They are representatives on council. Then we also have the union members. The one union member who is representing the staff, and the other union representative who is member who is representing the lecturers. Honorable Chairperson and committee, I think it warrants to mention that the college has were bombarded with a lot of challenges. As this newly management started and the college council started, we find that most, if not all, of the policies are still based on the old dispensation. Some are not even brought in line with the Constitution and the CET Act. So the college then and council vigorously embarked on a policy review and workshops to bring policies on board. And I must mention that within these 2 years, unfortunately, COVID came in 2020, and it became sort of a hurdle and obstacle for us. But irrespective of that, we could manage to bring quite a substantial amount of policies being reviewed, being adopted and implemented. The main funding of the college comes from DIET. But the funding is not to that extent. I'm listening to Gauteng when they say that they are the second biggest council, a college in the country. I'm forced to say maybe we are the third smallest college in the country, if not the second smallest country, college in the country. But that will never, never derail us from anything to do. And we will strive to stay in line with what Parliament is expecting from us and what also DIET is expecting from us. Chairperson, it wasn't to mention that the PPN kicked in, the post-provision norms that Parliament, that the DIET implemented, but it came with its own challenges, but we also wanted to mention that it also gave hope because the PPN will strive to bring uniformity in the lecturing positions of our lecturers, and that will be of great assistance so that our lecturers also is in line with all the other lecturers in the country, and we really appreciate it. And as I said, the main funding comes from DIET. They contribute to our budget, but it left the college also to generate its own funding to address the needs that are there in industry, or we experience in the three campuses. Chairperson, one of the other main challenges that we are facing, and I'm giving quite a synopsis of an overview, is that NSFAS also becomes a hurdle at times, most of the time. Even this year, in the previous 2-3 years that we are here, that they are paying students money very, very late. And it also has got its own challenges towards what students need to do and how it also hamper their progress at times. But that one, at least, we are happy that it's been addressed and students and payments were made. And it also has got an effect on the financials of the college. Because if the NSFAS paid students late, also money late reached the college that they owe the college. So, but the principal in his presentation will further speak on that one and elaborate on that one. Chairperson, the other, and I think it's one of our major, major concerns and a challenge that we are facing, is that our campuses, most, and if not all of them, at least I must speak truth, because Parliament is doing oversight. But some of the areas are very dilapidated, and it needed upgrading, and it needed the renovation. And really and truly, the principal will also speak to that one, what we embark on to get funding so that we can address those challenges of this building, that certain areas that are really falling apart. And then the one main one that is a thorn in the flesh is the hostels of our students. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Committee, when we started during 2002 as a council, we embarked on an oversight to the hostels. And what we were met with shock, the conditions that those hostels was in. It causes a health risk to our students. It causes, put them in danger their lives. So the college was no other option, but it's to close down because students can't live in such conditions that we are not even sure tomorrow the buildings will not fall on them. So, but we are also addressing that issue, and principal will also maybe allude to the fact that what are we doing to address those challenges. Honorable Chairperson, this is a short summary, a synopsis that I'm giving, and I will hand over because I wanted us to stay within the 35 minutes that were given by the Honourable Parliament and the committee. So the principal will speak to the 7 points that were given to us by Parliament to make a short presentation. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honourable Committee, and we'll wait for questions afterwards. Thank you. I'm handing over to the principal, Mr. Madalani.
Thank you, Chair. We are now ready for the principal.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education, Science and Technology. And good morning also to the members of the Portfolio Committee, all members who have attended this session. I'm also saying good morning to you. I am Brian Madalani, the principal of the College, Northern Cape Urban TVET College, and will then be taking you through the presentation of the college as per the questions or the issues that were raised by the Portfolio Committee. Allow me then, Chair, to switch off the camera so that we can then concentrate on the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Madalani. Could I kindly request that you see, if you go to the tab, display settings.
Should I go to what?
The tab on your screen where it says display settings.
Okay.
And you change it.
Duplicate.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
There we go. We can see it properly now.
Okay. This is the objective that I set, Chair, discussing the issues that we are going to present. And on our first slide, we'll be discussing the overview, which Chairperson stole my thunder already and presented that. We have a fully constituted council comprising of 15 members, which include 2 staff members, the representatives also from the SRC, and the councils have got their subcommittees. And we have the management. Within management, we have the executive and the broad management, of which we'll talk about at a later stage. And then we have within the finances, Chair, 2020, we had an unqualified audit opinion, and the college is in a good financial position as we speak. Chair, on the issues of gender and demographics within the management council, we have, as I said, we have 15 members of council with us, and having these 15 members, 8 are females and 7 are males. In terms of race, we have 11 Africans and we have 4 colors. The governance of the student governance, which is the SRC, we have, there are also 15, 8 females and 7 males. and also led, I must say that, Chair, and also led by female. The president is a female, the deputy president is a female, and the secretary general is a female. In terms of race, 12 Africans and 3 colors. In management, when you look at management, there are 17 in all, awaiting to fill other posts that needs to be filled. Currently, we are still at warm bodies, we have 17. We are taking this from the principal until the senior lecturers. And 7 females and 10 males. 8 Africans, 5 colors, and 4 whites. And then the student population, Chair, as indicated, we have more females than males. We are at 4,419 females and 2,530 males. In terms of race, we have 5,962 who are Africans, colored 908, white 50, Indian 17, and there is these that wanted to remain to be called others at 12, meaning when they decided to show their race, they decided not to choose anything. Progress report on the disbursement of the NSFAS funding and allowance. Chair, the NCU students are paid through e-wallet by NSFAS, and therefore the college does not do a direct payment of our allowances to the student. But at least as of April, the students started receiving their allowances. Not all, but some of them started receiving that. And we continue to engage with NSFAS on these issues. The college also received part of the tuition fee, which is the 13 million. For 2021, and this was covering at least 3,496 students. And yes, Chair, we will continue to engage with NSFAS because through engagement we'll be able to deal with the challenges that we are faced with. On the issue of student housing and infrastructure, as Chairperson has indicated, the closing of the hostels so that they can be habitable, and that some of the buildings that we are using can also be renovated. We then started together with the department through the infrastructure grant, just to indicate the current infrastructure project underway, Chair. At Moremoholo, we are looking at the roofing, in addressing the issue of the roofing. At City Campus, we are also, Chair, looking at doing the general repairs and maintenance of classrooms, toilets, and so on. And also putting a fence around the campus so that we can be seen as one campus and have a fence that would make students feel safe within the institution. Again, Pasimang is also, the Pasimang campus is one of the big campuses. It was previously the campus that was used by the Department of Education, housing the teacher education. Remember the Pasimang teacher education. And then we also did some applications to the department on this. For us to be compliant in terms of examination, so that during examinations, we don't have problems when there is load shedding. to have generators at both Moremo Kgolo and Phatsimang, also to have water tanks, because we have a challenge in the area of water, so we really need to have that. Because if we don't have these things, every time there's no water, you'll then have to release students and staff and teaching and learning and other operations will be affected. The overview, Chair, also on the college partnerships, so that we can be in a position to place our students. Among others, Chair, that we have mentioned there, the health department within the province, we have placed 4 students there. At the Solplaiki municipality, we have also placed 16 students. At the M Technology, we have placed 6. Flamingo Casino, they're not gambling, Chair. It's only 7 of them. Vodacom was able to accommodate 2. The Griqua Athletics, they were able to accommodate 1. The Golden Leopard Resort was able to accommodate 1. The Solplaiki University was able to accommodate 7 of them. Microtronics was able to accommodate 1. Mediclinic 1. Shine the Way, which is a corporate, it's only 2 students. And we also thank the Premier's office for accommodating 5. These are some of them, Chair, that we for placement. But just to abuse this, the platform given to us is just to indicate that also other occupational programs like bricklaying, welding, and plumbing from the different sitters, we're also offering that 424 students. And we are also envisaging into starting a program in mining and also in solar, because Northern Cape is rich with the sun. The success of the student, which is our core business, Chair, there we are showing the exit level as it's what we are normally report. We have 720 students at level 4 NCV. Those who passed 7 out of 7, it's 254, which is giving us a certification rate of 35. Our certification rate is always based on enrollment, not on rote. And the dropout, Chair, is 10%. The possible causes that we normally get from students is, I waited too long for NSFAS to pay, I have to go. I can't be within the college and still continue not to be able to pay either accommodation or not have money for transport. We are mitigating that, Chair, by engaging with NSFAS to say, please pronounce yourself on time so that students can know exactly their position with NSFAS, whether are they going to be funded or not, so that we are able to accommodate that. But the other issue, Chair, that we include in terms of mitigation is that when a student has passed 7 out of 7, then we know that this student also qualifies for NSFAS. While in discussions with NSFAS, we continue to enroll these students to the next level. COVID-19, Chair, in terms of COVID-19, we want to express our mitigation towards that to say we are encouraging vaccination of students. As much as they also feel that they should not be vaccinated, we're saying you are the leaders of tomorrow. It is therefore important for you to vaccinate so that we can have a complete society. And 6, we have 2,109 students. Those who passed It's 581. Those who pass four subjects, four out of four, it's 581. Certification is at 28%. The dropout is 5. And Chair, this is what we have seen, that the lower levels, the dropout is high, but at higher levels, the dropout is always very low. Again, it's also the issues of NSFAS. And our mitigation is the same as our mitigation for NCV, that we engage NSFAS, and we also allow those who have passed 4 out of 4 subjects who were NSFAS beneficiaries before to allow them to continue. Sometimes, Chair, we end up having to go to council and request council to write off that debt when we are unable to get our way with NSFAS. But then it only happens after 3 years, once we have tried to engage with NSFAS. And then thereafter, NSFAS will then come in 2022. Then they say to you, we are now paying for that student that you registered in 2018 or 2019. We are also encouraging them, Chair, to vaccinate. Chair, we were one of the colleges that appeared before the Gender Commission, and the Gender Commission made some recommendations, and those were the recommendations. The recommendation here was equal pay for equal work. Chair, we explained to the Gender Commission that within the public service, remuneration is based on post, not on race and not on gender. And both the college and the department always pay staff members on equal remuneration for equal work. Recommendation number two from the commission was that we should liaise with the department in terms of the issues of allocation to address transformation. Chair, we also explained that we usually submit the employment equity targets to the department, and they become part of the department document, and also set the annual target for equity targets. And that also, yes, it's true, it would help with the transformation. And that is why within the college, we are also moving towards that, to say we need to have more of our females in different positions, not only in management positions, but also in other positions as well. Because in any way in the world, females are more than males. It just makes sense that they also need to be more. And DHET, as explained by the chairperson, came up with a way of capacitating the colleges and brought the what we call PPN, post-provisioning norms. This is, Chair, to help the colleges get the necessary human resources, the necessary human capital that is needed, especially, Chair, let me say, within the student support services and the education services. Because if we are able to get those numbers, we'd be in a position to do better with what we have. Chair, we continue with the funds that we have. Funds will never be enough to continue to train staff in responsive programs, meaning as and when we want to introduce a particular program, that we then need to train the current staff that we have so that they can fit the purpose and be able to teach our students. We should not have a person who's only able to teach one subject, because we need more people. It would then require that we'd have to employ more people, and the money would not allow us to do that. Transformation remains a critical priority to the college, Chair, An all employment advert encourages people or persons from previously disadvantaged group and those physically challenged to apply. And normally we say an advert will then start speaking to an individual to say, do I really want to apply for this or do I really meet the requirements? The next recommendation, Chair, is the recommendation that was on sexual harassment policy and its review and its alignment. As the chairperson indicated, we started working on that because sexual harassment is not tolerated within the institution. We had to, one of our staff members had to be dismissed due to sexual harassment. And we continue to train our staff members regarding this, and the college council in 2021 was able to approve the harassment policy and it's now being implemented. The next recommendation was on accommodation, and again that the college must offer subject for those with disability. Chair, we appreciate that recommendation. We noted that, but we also indicated that we need to be ready in order to do that. The minute you allow a student to register, you are therefore automatically signing a contract that you'll be in a position to deliver. Therefore, the human capital that we have is still being trained or to be trained, Chair, so that they can meet those requirements. There are those with physical disability that are within the campuses, and we are also working in making sure that we are able to accommodate them and also get the necessary resources that would be used to deal with that. We are also grateful, Chair, that the DHET was able to come and do an assessment as it is doing across the country in terms of the readiness of the colleges to be able to accommodate students with disability. The other one is including people with disability on top posts or senior management within the college. As we indicated before, that when we advertise and also when the department advertises, because for the management it is the responsibility of the department, they always state that people are encouraged to apply, those from this previously disadvantaged groups and those who are disabled should also apply. And also, Chair, to make sure that the infrastructural changes are there to accommodate these people within the college, and that is also underway. The last but one, Chair, is that the college should also improve on the employment policies. Among others, it was indicated the leave, the campus security, the breastfeeding and sexual harassment policy. We are working on that, Chair, but we were also asking ourselves and also asking the commission on the issue of breastfeeding, because now our students would not be in a position to concentrate every time that they are here with the babies. And when we are discussing these issues, we then say, let us also invite the SRC to come and have a discussion on this. And the council will then be pronouncing itself on the date of the workshop for that particular policy so that we can look at it and how best can we accommodate this. We then say that we are also taking note of that, the sexual harassment and the security, the campus security, breastfeeding, and the other policies, Chair, are in place, which is the leave and the sexual harassment, they are there. The college also, as per the recommendation, it's the training and the education drive on GBV. This chair, we continue to address that because we are not tolerating it at all. And we also go on and make awareness about this, chair. And we have also been assisted by the department to come and speak to the lecturers. But what is still lacking from our side, chair, is the issue of engaging the students and also concentrating on the boy child to make sure that we also bring the boy child on board so that they can know how to live together and protect those who are vulnerable. This was when the staff was doing awareness and doing the march on gender-based violence to say no with gender-based violence, and that must stop. Chair, NCU wants to take this opportunity to extend its gratitude and appreciation for the time that the committee put aside to engage the college. I thank you, Chair. I'll hand over to the SRC. They are just here, Chair. The Secretary General will then come and do their presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, colleagues from Northern Cape Urban Tibet College. Can we receive the SRC's presentation? Colleagues, can we have an indication of how far the SRC is? If you are trying to talk, we can't hear anything on our side.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ntabeleng Diamond. I'm the Secretary General of the Student Representative Council. I would like to greet all the honorable members present, the SRC, and everyone here present. But our presentation will be dealing with two topics for today. It's myself and the Treasurer General. I will be dealing with the challenges students are facing, and our TG will be facing with the state of affairs of the college. The one main thing that, as you can see on our content, challenges facing students, the first thing there is the funding and certificates. Funding is a major problem that we cannot shy away from. Our institution should look at other funders. For example, the Northern Cape Premier's Office Bursary and the initiatives that the SRC has come up with. I will talk more about the initiative along the way. It is not a lie that students have lost faith in NSFAS. There's constantly problems regarding NSFAS wallets being blocked, no accurate date payment, and institutions take forever in sending the registration data of students. Our institution does not have enough staff members, as they've put it out. They do not have enough staff members to be sending the registration data, that resulting in students always getting their funding late because data was sent late, or other students not being funded at all. The SRC has come up with the initiative of the hashtag #ThusaMuthuti initiative. The SRC has come up with the #ThusaMuthuti.
Colleagues, I'm not sure if there's a network challenge, but there's like a continuous interruption as the leader, the student leader, is trying to prevent.
The SRC has come up with the hashtag #ThusaMuthuti initiative. This initiative is to elevate and enhance a student's life. Students go through a lot, and the least of their worries should be funding or not being able to register at all. Something our institution seem to forget is that there are students that really need the education to better their standards of living. The hashtag #ThusaMuthuti stands for Help a Student. What the TM initiative does is that we as the SRC are going to identify performing students from 75% pass mark that have not been funded by NSFAS and try to help them pay half of their registration fees. We are also going to create a form for students to apply for this, and those that will meet the criteria and qualify will get the help. Getting to the Northern Cape Premier's Office bursary. The bursary is called the Northern Cape Premier's Office bursary, as you can see there. But then it does not cater for all of the Northern Cape residing students. Highlighting the word Northern Cape, it only caters for university students. Posing a question of, is the TVET colleges in the Northern Cape not recognized by our government? Our institution should reach out to say that the bursary must also accommodate TVET students in the Northern Cape. And it should not only be 100% or rather 98% NSFAS funding. 98% saying that most of the engineering students are not funded by NSFAS because some of them get bursaries from their high schools and some of them are working, so they get bursaries from their employment. More courses should be added on the bursary as well. More courses should be added on the bursary as well, as the bursaries, the courses that are funded, they do not all of them are for the TVET sector. The issue of the certificate. The certificate is the issue that every college is facing, I would like to believe. In our economy of today, it is very difficult to find a job. You finish with your qualification as a student, you go look for a job, but you get delayed because of not being able to get your certificate in time. Or even other students that would wish to qualify or to go and enroll at a university from the TVET sector, but then cannot because of the delay of the certificate. The Department of Higher Education and Training is failing us as TVET students. Our institution should make it a priority that someone from the management is sent to communicate and inquire about this problem. DHET must also communicate as to why there is a holdup about the certificate issues. Thank you, and I would like to hand over to my fellow leader.
Good day, everybody. I'll be presenting the state of affairs of the college, starting with our mental health and things that affect students' mental health. I am Mbulelo Kobo. I was just reminded that I did not introduce myself. I am Mbulelo Kobo, the Treasury General of the SRC in Exco, and the only male within the executive structure. So we have mental health programs that we want to implement in order for us to look at the dimension of psychology of students. We think that there is something that we should do. Currently, our institutions don't have that. That means like there's a kind of lack in that program. We also think that with regards to career guidance, we have an issue with the pay system that is being used. So our submission is that we must get a better system than the pay system, because it's very much outdated in terms of its guidance that it provides for career students. The second matter that I will be going on with regards to the state of affairs within the institutions is fourth industrial revolution. Like it's been said that, you know, the TVET sector, sometimes it looks like it's the high school sector because of innovation. We would like to make the submission that there is innovation, not because institutions are small, then it must not look like they are innovative, but we must move towards embracing the fourth industrial revolution, moving online with our teaching. So we want the sector to meet the needs of the fourth industrial revolution so that our students can be linked with the sector outside of work. Right, and another matter that I'll be looking at is with regards to enrollment. This is a major issue because it is also the reason that NSFAS is delaying payments because of the systems that we are using. So we don't want the system where students come and fill a form in the institution. They must do the application online the same way it is done within the university in order for us to mitigate the problem of NSFAS saying that no, they needed to open again because there was now a form that needed to be filled. So we need to look into the institution adopting something like the Coltech system, which is also an online system that is used quite predominant in terms of its impact that it has to ensure that students get access to education and nobody is excluded. Right, and now that is a picture of the 15 SRC members, all of us all together. And we'd like to thank Parliament for giving us an opportunity to make these submissions that we made as the Student Representative Council of NCU TVET. We therefore would like to thank you. That is the end of our presentation.
Thank you very much, colleagues from the SRC. Can you hand over to workers, please?
Mr. Kwamazi, please, from your side, show your presentation, and as chairperson has requested that you do the presentation. Thank Pardon. You.
Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, Chair, and my fellow colleagues. We would just like to ask Anele to load our presentation as we have sent it to him. Chair, can Anele hear me? Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable Chair, and to the rest of our members of the meeting for today, my name is Joy Komazi, and I will be representing SATU. Alongside me, I have Mr. Kasamba from Nihau, Mr. Deploy from PSA, and Mr. Peterson from NAPTOSA, who are also in my list. So in the interest of time, we would like to go straight to the challenges that are faced by our fellow colleagues on our Western side. Can we go to the next slide? The first slide, please, Andele. Okay, so the issues on government, on governance and management. Those are issues that we have received from our constituency, from our different sides. So they are concerns and grievances that they have is with regards to the dissolution of the committees, which were for the function of providing transparency and accountability to various stakeholders. An example of that is like your labor forum. Your labor forum, which was a body constituted for management, top management and labor to discuss matter regarding labor issues. The second issue is with regards to the unconstitutional operation of the recruitment committee, which since 2019 till date has not invited any of the unions to be part of the process of the recruitment, which is serious concern for us, which gives rise to high levels of nepotism and favoritism, where management can do as they wish because there's no accountability to it. Furthermore, the challenge is bullying and victimization of staff members. If you raise any antagonistic view towards the prevailing view, then you are, some of us are even sitting on interdict chair, disciplinary hearings, and so forth. And then thereafter is the non-renewal of contract staff for lecturing after every 2 years, contradicting the policy of creating any reasonable expectation towards the staff. Based on that, we also have few challenges which we can allude to, whereby our members actually won a court order for the reinstatement, which was supposed to happen last year in November, but did not happen. Another issue was the closure of hostels after some of the blocks of the hostels were renovated and then they were completely shut down, which raises major concern to the lecturing staff, given that now students will drop out. Some of them are experiencing traumatic events where they are accommodated just in the name of seeking a better life for themselves. And then the third last issue is the fruitless expenditure on infrastructure and marketing material, which could have been used on academical issues, as you will see in later slides, that we are faced with a lot of academical issues to create a learner-friendly environment so that education may take center of the stage. And then second lastly is the centralization of IT support that leaves campuses stranded, because now to have your password change, you must fill in a job card so that an IT technician can come from the central office to the different sites. And then lastly, Chair, would be the non-existence of council at campus level, in the sense that no council member has ever came to campuses for the introduction of council or just to do an oversight business to see if the reports that they are getting in council meetings reflect what is actually happening on ground level. Next slide, please, Anele. And then administration challenges that we are facing is the reluctance of management to fill vacantly funded posts. As we are currently sitting, we are operating 3 campuses, and out of the 3 campuses, we only have 2 permanent campus managers, we only have 2 permanent HODs, and we have 6 senior lecturers for all the campuses, of which out of the 6, only 5 operate on 1 campus, leaving 1 for the 2 campuses. And then secondly, the malicious shifting and redeploying of staff from one post to another without due consultation. That is very serious concern to us, Chair, given that a lot of members of ours were taken from positions where they were now well experienced in, and then they were placed in positions where they had to learn. And some of them are even advanced in age, which means that it's frustrating for you to be put in such a position when you are looking retirement in the face. The failure, and then thirdly, the failure to implement DX resolution for the payment of 37% staff for the period of 2008 to 2011. We have had multiple engagements with management regarding that issue. The department instructed management to resolve this issue. Up until today, management still do not want to budge and come to the party regarding this. And then fourthly, failure to give staff reasonable notice before they are converted to PASAL. Some staff members were converted this year to PASAL, whereas it was in the blink of an eye when their salaries actually came into their bank account, which was also backdated, did they realize, Santi, I have been permanent for the past 2 months, and now I have to pay back the college, the money for the 2 months that the college paid me, which is way more than what the department is paying me currently. So it raises a lot of concerns to our members. And then next will be the contravening of the DHET Human Resource Circular 30 of 2020, which calls for the halting of any recruitment process for the period of 2020, which resulted in the college losing a court bid for the re-employment of those lecturers. But up until today, that court bid has not yet been implemented, Chair. And that also leaves us wondering. Then campuses are flooded with lecturers who are not appropriately skilled and inexperienced, i.e. without any teaching qualification, lecturing subjects they did not study in their qualifications, and so forth, leaving our students wanting, Chair, which is very, very, very crucial for our throughput and certification rate. And then lastly, the discontinuation of programs and introduction of new programs without proper consultation, because in the past we had committees where such matters were discussed and the necessary research was done, so that we should not implement irrelevant programs and discontinue programs which have yielded results for the college over the past couple of years. And then the outsourcing of HR functions to labor practitioners from Bloemfontein on behalf of the college. So now the core functions, some core functions of HR will now be performed by the labor practitioners, of which we have to fork out a lot of money to pay, whereas we have more than capable staff who can conduct or perform the duties which is being performed by those labor practitioners. And then second, lastly, the failure of DHET to pay benefits. Now, this goes straightly to our mother body, because a lot of our lecturers have improved their qualifications, but they have to wait years for them to be remunerated for their improvement. Some are still struggling to get their housing allowances paid out in full. They are still receiving the 900 and something, whereas they already purchased houses. And then lastly, the termination of contract and outsourcing of cleaning services for the college. Most of our sites of this campus, of this college, are seen by service providers, whereas the internal general workers are only cleaning key points. which now raises concern because 2 years back, a lot of contracts were terminated for general workers. Now those contracts are replaced by private institutions. Can go to the next slide, Anela. And then our challenges with regards to teaching and learning. The lack of the appropriate resources for the effective teaching and learning. This is very painful that at this day and age, we still have to be complaining about such matters that we don't have properly functioning printers and copy machines. We will have faulty computers within the staff room for lecturers to use. Only one computer is working, whereas a lot of lecturers have to capture their marks, have to upload absenteeism on the system, lessons and so forth. No mobile projectors for lecturers to present using PowerPoint, textbook shortages at the end of the year, and then there's absolutely no Wi-Fi on campuses for staff and learners for them to do research and so forth. And I even envy Gauteng College for the fact that they could even provide their lecturers with laptops to ensure that e-learning is a reality and not just a daydream. And then the second point would be the insufficient support for the college to participate in focus group activities. We have formed part of focus group, but we cannot fully participate in those activities because of lack of resources. And then thirdly, the poor certification rate and throughput rate as a result of employee turnover and lack of induction program for new employees. So after every 2 years or sometimes, if you are not so fortunate as the others, a year, you get new contract staff lecturers, which means that lecturer first has to find his fit within the subject, within the institution, before that lecturer can be effective. And then the inconsistent timetable, because on our three campuses, sometimes we are running different timetables, because I remember in one of our sister campuses, we are running a timetable with flex time, which forces lecturers to knock off at around 7, causing a risk to the lecturer and to the student. The increased working hours and reduced breaks, use lecturers used to work from 7:30 to 2:30. Now they have to work up until 3:15, and their break has also been reduced to 30 minutes. The non-existing student support to assist lecturers to ensure that at least when a child comes into the classroom, a lot of that psychological impact has been minimized. And then the next point would be high absenteeism rate and the dropout rate of students due to lack of support from our student support, accommodation challenges, NSS challenges, and so forth. And then the disruption of classes in the beginning of each semester causing a loss of valuable time for the lecturers to cover the syllabus. And okay, in terms of the implementation of the CGE report, Chair, the college is well balanced in terms of gender representation, even in its management structure, whereby if it's not 50%, it's slightly more of women representation. However, we still have a serious concern with the low level of people with disabilities within the employment entirely of the college, let alone the management structure. Thus, our humble plea, Chair, to the committee is, and the department, is the revival of college forums to ensure accountability to its stakeholders, so that each and every stakeholder should know what is happening on their college of choice. And then secondly, we would suggest a forensic investigation into the governance, administration, recruitment, and the finances of the college to ensure there was no maladministration. And then lastly, should the reports from the forensic audit warrant that the college be put under the administration, Chair, we would gladly welcome that decision. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues from all the stakeholders in the institution that presented this morning. We truly appreciate the time that you've put aside to join us. I think perhaps one would just, as members indicate their interest to ask questions, make recommendations and so forth. I think firstly, let me start with NCU. Perhaps if we could get an indication from DDG Zungu and the department, if we were aware of some of the disgruntlements of workers they're so heavy that workers would want a forensic investigation to take place at the institution, looking into the issues that were listed by our colleague who just concluded. And I'd want to know if the department is aware that there are those particular concerns arising from workers at the institution. And then it would be very concerning to, you know, considering how contentious the matters around staff or workers that are funded by the college or council vis-a-vis those that are funded by the department, that colleagues would not be informed about that, and maybe management can clarify how that could have happened. But also perhaps receive an understanding from the department how that particular transition is supposed to be unfolding, and how the department is supporting colleges in managing those particular dynamics. And then in terms of the myriad of issues raised around NASFIS, there seems to be a lot of disjuncture between the institution as well as NASFIS. And I think, again, like with all other institutions where we find that there's a concern in the relationship between NASFIS and the institution, the department must facilitate a session NASFIS and institutions must meet on their own, but in trying to ensure that the department fulfills its oversight functions over its institutions, we would want the department to be present in those particular conversations so that we are able to monitor the commitments that get made, so that in the end, we don't, there's a sense of back and forth in relation to NASFIS. NASFIS would say, for example, institutions don't give them the information and the data that they require. Institutions would argue differently. So, in a case like this, it becomes quintessential that we have a department playing a very crucial role to assist us in monitoring what exactly is unfolding in the deliberations that stakeholders are having. I know that Mr. Lunisa Sishi is from NASFIS is on the platform. So if you would want to share some light into some of the matters that have been raised in relation to NASFIS, we'll provide an opportunity for you to do so. However, we do hope that you're noting the areas of concern in relation to NASFIS. Colleagues, I think, just listening to both presentations, I think SWG gives a little bit more confidence, but at SMU there seems to be a great concern around budget stability or sustainability. And I think as a committee, we must reiterate our stance to say that we need an increased budget for the TVET sector. And perhaps I'd want to understand, so the workers, our colleague who's representing workers says that there isn't adequate resource support given to workers. He speaks about there being one computer available in terms of responding to the remote or hybrid methods of teaching and learning that may have had to unfold due to COVID. Workers were not in a place to be able to respond to that. I want to understand from management if that's a result of funding. So is there a shortage of funding to make those resources available? Or is it a matter of, I don't know, like we've just been incompetent as an institution in terms of fulfilling that particular task of aiding and supporting and strengthening the process of teaching and learning within the institution. So if Khalees could clarify us if it's budget related or if we've just not, stayed on pulse in terms of ensuring that we create that particular conducive environment for colleagues to operate within. Then I really think collectively as members of parliament, as this committee, as the department, as the college, as the SRC itself, we need to advocate for stakeholders outside of institutions to really think more broadly about how they invest into the higher education sector and to invest equally into the higher education sector. And this is following on to the point of the SRC, I think Deputy President, who presented to say that, you know, the Premier's office does not avail bursaries for TVET college students. Which is contradictory to the Premier's office or their commitments in terms of the work integrated learning, because so there must be some sort of you can't catch it at the end. It needs to be continuous, the type of support that we give to the sector. So that there's a bit of a contradiction there, but I think collectively we need to work in encouraging and imploring stakeholders to invest into this space. And I mean, we always, of course, also focus on industry and having industry come on board in investing in the TVET program. But I think we also need to start within the public sector in itself, in creating equity in how we fund the various programs of the higher education sector. And then just perhaps the DDG Zungu colleagues could bring us into confidence in how we are responding to the infrastructure challenges at NCU, which also include infrastructure for accommodation. The acting principal at SWG alludes a lot to the fact that arrests are part of the reasons why students don't return. You said it before you got to the slide on arrests, and then you got to the slide on arrests and it was listed number two. That for me is a very different reason, for it to be even listed, I think is not something I've really been exposed to. And I took great interest in understanding this notion that arrests are part of the reasons why students don't continue. Are we having a challenge where in our sector we're finding ourselves with, because ultimately we need to respond to that as a sector, because when young people or when citizens go through higher education, they don't go through higher education to solely garner skills and knowledge, but also for us to be able to harness better citizens who need to enter their communities to make a difference, et cetera. So, I mean, if that's a challenge we're having, that our students are getting arrested, it means we need to put in place a program that can respond to the ethics and morality of our students. And so I think that the college as it for example would say on psychosocial support, this is how we assist, or on financial aiding, on financial aid, we would try and scrap that particular debt of the student for them to be able to continue, or, you know, we'll waiver the fees. We also need to be able to say, okay, well, we have a great number of students that are getting arrested. This is what we're putting in place to try and harness, you know, better citizens who must come out of our sector with a greater understanding of their role within community. So that for me was something very interesting to sort of hear. And then there's a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of the leadership of the college. The SRC is leading the college in terms of leadership, governance and management, demographics. The SRC is doing exceptionally well. And I think the SRC and its demographics, in terms of having, I think, 7 women out of the 11 members of the SRC, if I'm not mistaken, is a representation of the demographics of the college, because the majority of your students are women. And therefore, it makes sense that that translates to the SRC leadership, and that should also translate into the leadership of the college. I see your campus managers, it looks Betanyana, but the rest of the leadership and management of the governance and management structures of the institution is not how we want it to look. So a lot of work needs to be done there, but I'll leave it at that for now and allow for members to come in. I think what one would also appreciate from both colleges, but particularly SWG, is for colleagues to share with us what they think the shortcomings of their colleges are, your weaknesses, where you as a college feel, hey, we need to do a lot of work here. So if you were to introspect, what would those areas be, and how would you request that us as a committee or the department support you in overcoming those particular challenges? I see Honourable King's hand is up, Honourable Mananiso, Honourable Litsie, and Honourable Makesi. Honourable King.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the various members on the platform. Let me first start off by saying I'm very much impressed with SWG TVET College, with the engagement with the CETAs and the private institution in order to ensure that more students receive bursaries. That is really a good initiative and a way of forward thinking in terms of ensuring that there is some form of extra income besides NFSS that is coming into the institution. So listening to both colleges, the concern would then be raised in the qualification breakdown of lecturers per course. And it would be very helpful if we can receive that information so that we know that the lecturers at the TVET College are properly skilled in order to administer the various courses so that we at least give quality education to the various